And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. Boomer, we are halfway through the show, dude. How does that even happen? I know it's nuts. Surprised all the time, but
but we just look up at the clock and we're like, oh man.
Is that because we're having so much fun?
That's what it is.
That's good, though.
Yes.
I mean, I hate to go, Boomer, it's only been 15 minutes. How much longer we got, man? When's the next break? No, I mean, I get the biggest kick out of doing this still. All right, listen, I'm going to move to number two on the triple dipper. So number two, live free or die. Every once in a while, I got to bring this up because the Second Amendment is under constant assault, constant. I mean, liberals are freaking out because they've not been winning lately. And so, you know, when you realize you can't win in court, you go ahead and try to prevail by creating new legislation. When you realize the court's going to overturn your legislation, then you start finding regulatory schemes by which you can do things. And if that doesn't work, you just flat out make it hard. Like, we're just going to make it painful. We're going to dox you. We're going to scream about you. We're going to picket your homes. It's unreal. Well, right now, though, one of the reasons why liberals are freaking out when it comes to the Second Amendment, live free or die. And by the way, I was shooting this weekend, Boomer, and I'm
jealous. I mean, I got to go to the Bama
game.
Yeah,
you were at the Bama game,
so that was fun.
You got to go watch your team actually win.
I did get to do that.
I don't know what that's like right now.
You got to shoot. I got to go to the Bama game. I did clean my gun, or one of them.
Did you?
Yeah.
All right, well. As a matter of fact, now that you said that, I realize my Glock needs to be cleaned. But nonetheless, I mean, it was a good weekend.
Nice.
You couldn't ask for better weather.
Beautiful.
And it was at a friend's house who has a lot of land, so we were shooting, you know, unfettered. It was like, you know, just we went out there, we drove the truck out to the far side of the land, set up targets, and put out a folding table, and just
had at it.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, the best.
All right. Okay. All that. Let me reel myself back in. I'm sorry. I was just basking in the warm afterglow of getting to shoot in beautiful fall weather on Saturdays. So live free or die. Libs are freaking out. Number one, CNN runs a story just last week. I take it back. Yesterday, how the Supreme Court put gun control laws in jeopardy nationwide. Well, let me just CNN. Let me help you. Let me help you out. Let me help you a second. Gun control laws shouldn't have been there in the first place. So when you say, how the Supreme Court put gun control laws in jeopardy nationwide, well, that's like, you know, saying how traffic lights made traffic run smoother and on time. It's not supposed to be. I mean, it's not. Okay. Supreme Court's doing its job, in other words. CNN, though, reports, it did not take long for top gun right activists to realize the Second Amendment ruling handed down by the Supreme Court in June was going to transform the legal fight over access to firearms. I can't reach my forearms. Dudley Brown, the president of the National Association for Gun Rights, said the realization started to come when he received a phone call from another executive at his organization minutes after the decision was released. This is the one, by the way, back in June. 6-3 decision, New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin. You may recall, we talked about it on the show before, in the Bruin case, the Supreme Court struck down a regulatory scheme by which New York made it very difficult to have a concealed carry permit. They had all kinds of, you know, hoops you had to jump through, and the Supreme Court said, no. So New York State Rifle and Pistol Association v. Bruin came out, but what happened was the Second Amendment haters have now recognized, and the Second Amendment lovers have now recognized, that the Bruin case, it went further than just what happened in New York. It provided the means by which courts across the entire nation could look at the enforcement of gun laws, and the enactment of gun laws, for that matter. So since the June ruling, federal judges in at least half a dozen different cases have already cited the Bruin decision to rule against gun restrictions that have included local assault weapons bans, prohibitions on the manufacture of homemade firearms, and bans on teenagers publicly carrying handguns. Okay. But what the extended reach of the ruling beyond the roughly half dozen states with similar licensing procedures was what Justice Thomas said about how courts should decide whether gun limits comply with the Second Amendment. Thomas said, "The only regulations that can be deemed constitutional are ones that don't encroach on conduct plainly covered by the Second Amendment's text and are, quote, consistent with this nation's historic tradition." Let me rephrase that for you. If it doesn't violate the Constitution, it's okay. It's as simple as that. What happens is now we have a plurality of originalists on the Supreme Court. We have more people there who care about the strict construction of the actual Constitution. And so all Thomas is saying is, if it doesn't violate the Constitution, you're going to be okay. Well, that should make common sense, but it doesn't to the folks that hate the Second Amendment. And so right now, you're seeing states everywhere, liberal-controlled states, that are freaking out. And, oh, by the way, there's some interesting things happening that are, you know, coming out of D.C. All the more reason to see the midterm elections go significantly to the right. For instance, the Epoch Times, dated October 9th, that's yesterday. New rule now requires firearms dealers to disclose buyer information to the government. You heard me. It's that whole thing about keeping a list. Well, they're keeping a list. A new policy was implemented last week by the FBI's National Instant Criminal Background Check System, the NICS system. That's what they use when you're buying a firearm. You have to fill out the whole background check form, and they run you through the system. It says federally licensed firearm dealers will now be required to provide the FBI with the personal addresses of individuals who attempt to make a purchase but are denied or have a delayed transaction. The FBI will also provide local law enforcement with details of failed transactions, which include delayed transactions, as well as the personal information of rejected individuals. To what end, I wonder? Pray tell, what would they do with this information? Come knock on your door. That's what they'll do. It says earlier, firearms dealers only had to provide a purchaser's state of residence rather than their full address in the case of a denial or a delay. In an email obtained by the Gun Owners of America, the agency details how the new policy will be implemented. You ready for this? The NICS Denial Notification Act of 2022 requires the FBI's NICS section to notify state, local, or tribal law enforcement of all NICS denied transactions within 24 hours. The FBI must provide notification to law enforcement based upon the location of the firearms licensed dealer and, if different, the purchaser's address. Okay, what they're saying here is this. You go in to buy a weapon, a firearm. You fill out the background check. They run you through the system. Usually you get your response right there while you're standing in front of the counter, and you're approved. You know, you don't have a felony. You've never had an issue with the law. You know, you're going to be good to go. Well, except things are changing. Now they're beginning to get into what they call red flag laws. Now that you can have something on your record that says there's a mental health determination somewhere that says maybe you shouldn't own one. Except who gets that to make that decision? Not you, not your doctor. A red flag law, all that is a non-adjudicated red flag. That's somebody saying, yeah, we see a problem. What do you got, bud?
Is that kind of like back when all of the security measures started upping in airports and they're like, oh, red flag, you come over here. How about I just check you out real quick?
You look at it and think it could be that arbitrary.
I mean, yeah, they just were like, what, you know, maybe it was just counting numbers. 1, 2, 3. Oh, number 12, come here. You're going
I mean, you know, the 20-year war we just had saw a real uptick in diagnoses of PTSD. Mm-hmm. Sometimes very legitimate. Sometimes PTSD seemed like really? You gave them a PTSD for that? But nonetheless, at what point does the VA begin sharing with the other federal databases and they go, hey, before he buys that gun, he's got PTSD. It's on his records. And that's a red flag. And so we're going to delay your transaction, which means that now his information gets handed to local law enforcement, who then is going to wind up having to come knock on the door and say, excuse me, sir, you tried to purchase firearms? Yeah. It was denied. Why? You got PTSD. Why do you know my medical history? I'm just saying. Wow. This is the kind of thing we're headed to right now.
Man.
But y'all, I'm not making this up. So one of our listeners, and I won't say who, but one of our listeners sent me a copy of an email. I've got it right here in my hands. And this one is different than the one I just read you. This one, I mean, I'm looking at the official email transaction. Names have been blocked off, and I appreciate that, but I still won't share the name of the person who sent it. It says, as a result, this is the exclusive email. I'm holding it up right now just so you can see. As a result of the passage of the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, signed into law in June, the NICS section, that's the background checks again, is now working towards the implementation of, quote, enhanced background check processes for persons between the ages of 18 to 20. Now, you can be old enough to be in the military, but you can't buy a gun without having it delayed for the purposes of the purchase. The enhancement, it says in the email, provides the opportunity for additional outreach and research to be conducted regarding the existence of any juvenile adjudication information and or mental health prohibitions. Well, there's the mental health piece. And then also, by the way, juvenile records are typically sealed. But what we're going to find out now is that marijuana possession when the kid was 14, for which they had a misdemeanor charge, or for that matter, maybe Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin excused it altogether and pardoned it, is now something that shows up and stops them from getting a firearm transaction completed when they're 19 years old, at the age of majority in Alabama, old enough to join the military, and it's going to be delayed. The delay is automatic. The delay then automatically triggers having to give their name and address to local law enforcement. That's in the email, which is an email from the NICS background check offices at FBI.gov. I kid you not, I'm looking at it. And I think it's legit. It's real. It says, however, if no potentially prohibiting information is located, the transaction will be proceeded as soon as possible. What does soon as possible mean? How long can they sit on it? How long can they check you out? How many times can they knock on your door? I got a caller on the line, bud. Let me do that real quick. Is that Brian? Yeah, Brian from Huntsville. Brian, how you doing today, man?
Doing okay, except I realized I'm a lot older after I got done replacing a CV axle and one rotor and brake rotor, and I've got to do the other one, and I'm delaying it.
What are you working on, man? What kind of vehicle?
It's just a 2014 Hyundai Sonata.
Well, then you're a brave man. But all right, what's on your mind today?
Well, happy Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day, if that's so to say. But speaking of Indigenous peoples, you were talking about the gun laws and the FBI having to have things on there. How separate are the Native Americans on reservations? I thought they were pretty separated from the federal law in the U.S. Can they stick their little paws in there? I know they can, but is it legal?
I think they can, and I say that because it appears that this firearm license dealers, background check information, any delays have to be referred, in the article I'm looking at, have to be referred not just to local civilian law enforcement, but also to tribal law enforcement. So I'm assuming that means that tribal law enforcement is on the hook to knock on doors as much as anybody.
Okay. I did not know, because so many things are not associated with the U.S. federal government that are on reservation. I didn't know if that one was or not. So
nope.
Thank you.
Nope. There you go, bud. All right.
You have a good one, sir.
You too, Brian.
Goodbye.
Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back. And I'm going to keep on going. Live free or die. They're doing what they can. But you know what? Just so you know, even though these background checks are starting to happen, even though red flag laws are beginning to crop up, I will tell you this, we continue to win in court. I got some more examples. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, listen, by the way, I got to tell you guys, you hear me talk about it all the time. The folks at Riley and Jackson Law Firm have been doing an amazing job of dealing with this stuff you keep hearing about online about the water contamination at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. So these are friends of mine, by the way, Riley and Jackson Law Firm. They're based in Birmingham, but they work statewide, and they do amazing work. As an attorney, I have collaborated with them on other cases. I also have just kind of fought for issues for them. They're a conservative bunch, just to be honest. But Riley and Jackson, the lawyers there, are working on that Camp Lejeune case. They've got like five lawyers working it. So if you or a loved one were at Camp Lejeune anytime between 1953 and 1987, I'm just saying you ought to give them a call, talk to them, find out whether you have a claim. They do a lot of stuff there. I mean, for 25 years at Riley and Jackson, they have handled thousands of cases for people who were hurt due to someone's negligence. And what I like about them, by the way, is that when you talk to them, you're going to have a lawyer. You're not going to be talking to someone at a call center. They're going to talk with you directly and give you advice on your case. If you do have a case, they'll bring it, and they work hard. And I know that for a fact because I've seen it in action. And they only get paid if you get paid. Now, they're a good firm. They're a conservative group at their firm. I think you'll like them. If you have a legal need, I'd give them a call. Here's their number. You ready? 205-879-5000. That's 205-879-5000, Riley and Jackson. By the way, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I get the biggest kick out of them saying, man, we got more of your folks that called. Okay, are you timing, Boomer? Yeah. I got to do the thing. It's the law. No representation. May the quality of legal service be performed as great as the quality of legal service performed by other lawyers. What did I say?
I slipped, too, and I you got 2.33 because I stopped it early.
Oh. Okay. We'll do that one again tomorrow and make sure I can. But I got to make sure I say all the words. No representation is made the quality of legal service be performed as greater than the quality of legal service performed by other lawyers there. Okay. All right. Anyway, let's move on. I'm going to be taking this past the top of the hour, just so you know. Live free or die. There's some amazing things that are happening out there. So here we are. Literally, I'm sitting here holding an email. I'm holding it up to the camera right now. Those of you who watch the live stream, you can go to rightsideradio.org. We live stream the show so you can see the interior of the great Right Side studio. But this email that I've got a copy of that says basically, it doesn't matter that you're old enough to be in the Army. If you're 18 to 20 years old, they're just going to delay your transaction, period. Because, you know, because they can, because Congress said they could, which still boggles my mind. But then on top of that, that delay, for no other reason except the fact that you're 18, 19, 20 years old, means that local law enforcement gets a copy of your denial, and your delay results in your information being sent to local law enforcement. Why? Well, it's, I don't know, 18 to 20 years old. It might be scary. It might be some things, might be some bad things happening. I don't know. Well, just so you know, as frustrating as that kind of crap is, there's some good things that are happening. And I'm gonna come back. I tell you what, I'm going to wind up unpacking some of this when we get back because it's just too good. Not the least of which is what happens when the government stages a big old buyback program. They're going to buy guns. And so one guy just goes home, gets his 3D printer out, starts making guns, and takes them down there and keeps selling them. And he made a lot of money, let me just tell you. We'll talk about that, the whole thing, when we get back. In the meantime, let me just end the hour by telling you real quickly about my friends at ZLA Solutions. ZLA Solutions. So listen, the bottom line is this. If you're looking for a job, ZLA Solutions is one of the best around at putting people and jobs together. They do an amazing job at this. It's their thing, man. It's like they live for this. And so ZLA Solutions, you can find them at ZLAUSA.com. You need a job? Go check out their website, ZLAUSA.com. They've got jobs posted all over the northern part of the state. Good jobs. But if you're an employer, you need to fill out the ranks of your workforce. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. They can fill out an entire shift or just the onesies and twosies. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Coming right back, live free or die. I got some good stuff that'll make you smile. Second Amendment. All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios, the local, the state, the national man. We cover down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, yes, we are solid, conservative, and just plain right. It's hour number three, Boomer.
Hour number three.
All right, so Boomer, you're like pretty tech savvy, and you do stuff like you.
I like it. Yeah,
we even talked about like getting a laser to do engravings on weapons. And that kind of stuff. So you're into that. Have you ever used a 3D printer?
I actually have never owned one. I've played with one of my friends once.
I've never used one. So my understanding is basically you can just buy the chunk of plastic, mm-hmm. and you input the specs. And then it begins to carve out whatever it is.
Yeah, it just carves it out like basically the whole outline of the whole thing. And then there you go. Voila.
Well, you know, there's been a big to-do in lib circles for they could use those to make guns. So, you know, I mean, you can. I'm sure you can make the hand grips stuff like that pretty easy.
Yeah, I believe so because it's more of just the outline of the grips.
And I think I even saw that like online they've got like people post here's how you manufacture the various components so that you can put it all together and make your plastic gun that you made in your 3D printer at home.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I mean I could see that being a little strange.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that happened the other day, I'll tell you what. I got to tell some other stories first.
Okay,
but I'm gonna get to
my seat.
I know you are. I can tell what I just did to you. That's just not right of me. I'm so sorry. I baited that one in a big, big way. But
you did.
I'm gonna come back to that. So all the right. 3D printer thing, yeah, okay, that paid off well for somebody who I think got basically more than his money's worth. So listen, earlier in the segment here, we're doing Live Free or Die, Second Amendment, Live Free or Die. And there's this constant regulatory pushback. Like, if they can't win here, they'll try it there. If we can't do it this way, we'll do it that way. But liberals want to curtail the Second Amendment. Next to abortion, I think it's the most avid, rabid, you know, level of second of liberal fighting that I see. Except lately, it's been going in our favor. The courts have been seeing to that. That Bruin case that I told you about earlier, the Supreme Court ruled in June, has opened the door. But it's amazing what they've done in the process. Like for instance, we're spawning more lawsuits because Bruin gave us something to stand on now. But like here's one, New York Post, October 5th. This would be last Wednesday. The U.S. Supreme Court vacated a Massachusetts gun control law in one of the first orders of its new term following the justice's June ruling striking down a New York statute. That was the Bruin case. That required people to show, quote, proper cause if they wanted to carry a concealed firearm. Can you imagine? Got to have proper cause. Why do you feel concerned? I live in New York City. Is that not enough? It's not enough for you? Not for nothing, but maybe I need a firearm. You know what I'm saying? The Massachusetts case, though, was called Morin v. Liver, and it concerned the plaintiff being denied a new firearm license because he had two out-of-state misdemeanor convictions for weapons possession. Okay. Massachusetts law places severe restrictions on the possession and purchase of firearms, including the ability to obtain a license to even possess handguns if convicted of nonviolent misdemeanors. Nonviolent misdemeanors. Meaning this person was, when you say it was a gun possession misdemeanor, it was probably somebody who was traveling from one state to another and didn't have a concealed carry permit that was honored by the other state, and so they got ticketed or fined. It was in the database. They are now considered to be having a firearms misdemeanor on their record, and Massachusetts said, now you can't buy one here. Well, why? Well, because you did a bad, bad thing. What did I do? It was nonviolent. I had it with me. It was in my car when I got the traffic ticket. Who knows? I'm filling in the gaps myself, but I can tell you that's basically what it probably boiled down to. But that was struck down. So now Massachusetts is back to the drawing board. What are they going to do? In the meantime, New York got busy when they lost that case in June. They went all at it. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We got to do something. We got to do something more. We got to restrict. Okay, so they passed a law, and a federal judge in Syracuse has now blocked enforcement of several parts of New York's broad new gun law. So they lost their old show proper cause law, and they immediately went into special session and said, well, then we're going to do this way, and we're going to do that, and we're going to make it rougher. And they didn't learn their lesson, basically. U.S. District Judge Glenn Sutterby has now ruled that several provisions of the state's new gun laws are unconstitutional. Listen to this. Here's the thing. I'm glad Judge Sutterby got busy, because he blocked provisions of the law that outlined new requirements for background checks for gun permits, including the disclosure of the applicant's social media accounts. This is the one where you had to give them all your social media history. He also blocked the bans on guns in public and private properties. He also rejected the provision that an applicant must have evidence to demonstrate that they have good moral character. Who determines that? The state of New York, that's who. Sutterby reversed the burden of proof, ruling that it's up to the licensing agency to prove the applicant does not have good moral character. Yeah, it's like they were, the state was saying, oh, we don't think you have good moral character and you have to prove otherwise. No. He says, if you're going to do that, state, you have to have good cause. Good cause shown. The judge also ruled the state of New York cannot require applicants to have an in-person meeting with a licensing officer. God almighty. Disclose the names and contact information of all adults residing in their homes. Seriously. And he also reduced the new law's broad bans. Basically what happened was New York got mad. They threw a fit. They had him a legislative tantrum. And in their legislative tantrum, they decided to do more than what was already struck down once before. And it didn't work. Thank you, Federal District Judge Glenn Sutterby, for seeing the light of day. Have I got a caller on the line, Boomer? Is that Jeff? Jeff from Indiana. How you doing today, brother?
Doing great, Phil. Made it through Nashville, so that's always good.
There you go. There you go. What's going on, man? What's on your mind?
You know, if you were a judge, now, the Second Amendment is in such plain language, you don't have to have, even a dummy truck driver like me can figure that one out. I mean, it's real short and sweet and to the point. Shall not be infringed. What's the meaning of infringed? You're a lawyer. You've got a good definition of that.
That means you can't mess it up. That's what it means. You can't try to slow things down. You can't even curtail it. You can't just say it can't happen. And Justice Thomas said the same thing. He basically said in very, you know, esteemed language that if it's in the Constitution, it cannot be just curtailed by state law.
Exactly. And unless they modify the Constitution, how can there be any state laws that prohibit any firearms is what I'd like to know. It's just like saying, well, you know, you can, we're going to, you know, put a ban on the First Amendment. You know, you can't gather, you know, you can't peacefully gather. So, you know, how does that work out unless you got a permit or something?
Yeah. And I've said before on the show too, and it's kind of like to your point here, I guess, is if they're allowed to get away with curtailing this constitutional right, then which one's next? Because you're right. Yeah, they're going to pick the next one.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, and everybody thinks they're talking about firearms. It just says the right to keep and bear arms. Arms is bombs, it's rockets, it's anything. It's a battleship or whatever you want. I mean, just because they only had small arms back then and then they had cannons and they had warships and everything else. So, you know, why does people think it just pertains to firearms, to guns?
So I want to be there for the christening of the USS Jeff from Indiana. That's what I want to be there for, that battleship christening.
Well, according to the Constitution, it should be legal. it's just an arm.
We're gonna start calling you.
It's an arm.
We're gonna call you Bazooka Jeff.
There you go.
All right, man. We're up against the break, but you have a good one, and we'll talk to you again soon. All right.
You too, Phil. Have a good one.
We'll see you. Oh, my gosh. Looking over here, too, at my text line. By the way, if you want to text in or call in, the same number for both, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Yeah, Paul from Athens, spinning off of what Jeff was saying, says we need to have our own F-15, I guess. That's good. I had one. Where did it go? I saw one that I was going to try and grab a text, and now I don't see it. It was Paul from Athens again. He said, with regards to the gun restrictions, because they charge you as an adult for a movie or a buffet at 12. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. 18 to 20 years old, you're slowed down from buying a firearm, but, oh, my gosh. We got a caller? I thought we were, too, but I think I got who you got on the line? Somebody want to? If I hold to the break, we'll do that, all right? Let's do that. Let's take the break right now. I just told Jeff I was taking a break. I can't lie to my man, Jeff. We are taking a break. All right, folks, we're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. We're in number two of the Triple Dipper, Live Free or Die, Second Amendment, constant battle at hand to maintain our Second Amendment right to bear arms, which shall not be infringed according to the actual wording of the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. But let me jump over to the phones real quick. Line one, Kevin from the U.S. of A. All right, Kevin, Phil Williams, how you doing?
How you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. What's on your mind?
I've been listening to you about the Second Amendment and what the left keeps coming back about muskets. Not many people know that there was a machine gun developed in the early 1700s, before the Constitution, before the Revolution, called the buckle gun.
Nice.
So that doesn't hold any water. Regardless, shall not be infringed.
I completely agree. So I take it you're a Second Amendment guy yourself.
Of course.
I'm a Constitution guy. Well, that's even better. If you're more than a Second Amendment guy, you're a Bill of Rights guy. You're okay, good.
You're exactly right.
So let me ask you this: I said, let me ask you this. One of the things that's happening right now is the new rule on background checks is if you're 18 to 20 years old. You're going to have a delay in being able to get a firearm if you try to purchase one. What are your thoughts on that?
Shall not be infringed. That's the other way around.
Well, I completely agree. All right, man. Well, listen, I think we're on the same page. Kevin, thanks for calling in. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, take care. He's right. I mean, and I like that. It was about as blunt and straightforward as you can get. What part of I almost expected to say, what part of shall not be infringed don't you get? But that's the answer. 18 to 20 years old, it still shall not be infringed because guess what? There is no age limit on the Bill of Rights. There's not. And now I understand that, you know, at some point, maybe a 14-year-old shows up and wants to buy a firearm. Maybe they better have an adult with them. But if you're of the age of majority in the state in which you live, if you're old enough to join the military, doesn't it make sense that you should be able to buy a firearm? I'm just, you know, just spitballing here, but it seems normal to me. Let me wrap this up by telling you, too. You know, one of the things that liberals love to do is spend tax dollars on gun buyback programs. Fine. If the local leadership wants to pass a resolution to use local tax dollars, something like that, I guess that's their right. It's interesting, though, how these things work out sometimes. Washington Examiner. Fox News. Story from Fox News. Houston's second gun buyback program sees record numbers. We believe this is the largest. Okay, so Fox News reports that just yesterday, the city of Houston reports that it held a buyback program this past weekend, and officials believe the turnout made history. They said hundreds of cars lined up at the city's West Chase Metro Park and Ride to participate in the program, which is part of Mayor Sylvester Turner's One Safe Houston initiative. Says a few hours after the event was over, the mayor's office announced 1,208 guns were turned in on Saturday in exchange for a gift card, which is about 400 more than the 845 collected during Houston's first buyback in July. A $50 gift card was available for a non-functioning firearm. $50 for a non-functioning firearm. That's not bad. $50 for a paperweight, which you basically got there.
Yep.
All right. $50 for a non-functioning firearm, $100 for a shotgun or hunting rifle, $150 for a revolver or a semi-automatic handgun, $200 for a semi-automatic rifle. That's, you know, okay. Yep. They're getting them off the streets, I guess.
Getting them off the streets.
But did you hear, Boomer, about the guy with the 3D printer?
Oh, this is, we're getting back to this.
Story off Fox News last week. This came out last Tuesday. Man makes $21,000 selling 3D printed guns during New York's AG's gun buyback program. Apparently this dude, and he's young apparently because he calls himself a punk kid, but he says a New York man claims to have made $21,000 during a gun buyback program by 3D printing over 100 lower receivers. That's all it was a lower receiver. Just the lower receiver.
Man.
And so he prints out 100 of these things. Like, basically, he's went out and just burned up that 3D printer. Just went out and bought hunks of plastic and probably had one design and just went, hit, start. Next thing you know, he's got 100 lower receivers. He says, I 3D printed a bunch of lower receivers and frames for different kinds of firearms. The man who had only identified himself as Ken told WKTV last week. Ken says he printed the gun parts on a $200 3D printer that he received as a gift for Christmas. I don't know how much the plastic cost, but old boy's making out as a bandit, like a bandit right now. And then made the six-hour drive to Utica, New York, where the police department was hosting a gun buyback program hosted by the New York Attorney General's office. And he said they saw my tote bag and said, how many firearms you have? He said, 110. Which, of course, I'm sure caused a stir. He said it went in the negotiation phase. They're like, okay, you got how many? What? He said it ended with the guy and the lady from the budget office finally coming around with 42 gift cards and counting them out in front of me. $21,000 in $500 gift cards for plastic parts he made in his home printer.
I mean, they had to know.
I'm going to say this is capitalism at work right here. This is the free market just destroying the liberal plan.
Yeah, I mean,
They had no idea. You can tell they had no idea what to do with this. And finally somebody went, well, I mean, he brought them in. What are we going to do? I don't know. Give him the cards. Ken laughs off the claims by the Attorney General's office that the Utica gun buyback program was a large success, arguing such programs do nothing to reduce crime. He says, I'm sure handing over $21,000 in gift cards to a punk kid after getting a bunch of plastic junk was a rousing success. He said, gun buybacks are a fantastic way of showing, number one, your policies don't work, and number two, you're creating perverse demand. Wow. Oh, boy. Got busy with his 3D laser printer, made $21,000 at a liberal gun buyback plan.
One day.
And I'm pretty sure there's going to be copycats of that
everywhere.
I'm gonna buy me a 3D printer.
There you go.
All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming into the last half hour, moving to number 3 on the Triple Dipper, Big Tech Backlash. We'll be right back.